for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just couldn't help but notice when we began to start to sing that song that the sun began to shine a little brighter through this window over here. Got to give credit for that. Only God could do something like that. When you start to sing a song like Open Up the Heavens and the sun and the side of the building starts to just come in a little brighter. Isn't God great? Isn't he awesome? There is no other God that could do anything like that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I'm so thankful that the Word of God explains what love is and what love isn't. The world has their version of love, but God is the expression, definition of love in Jesus' name. That He never gave up on me, and He never bullied me, and He never brings up my past wrongs. And He reminds me of how good He's always been to me. It just makes me want more of Him and want more to be like Him. And I'm so thankful that I could walk in the house of the Lord and I could feel His presence and that I know His love is here. And that I just want to, life will overwhelm you at times, but the presence of God is something that I don't mind being overwhelmed with. Can we just love Him back? He's been so good to us. Lord, we just want to love You back for Your goodness to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. You've been so faithful to us, Lord. You never bullied us. You never remind me of our past, Lord. But You show us a future, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I'm so thankful that You're here in this place and what You're going to do and Your love that is being poured out in this place in Jesus' name. Let's continue to love Him back today in this place.
Sweetest. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs. Holder of my future days to come.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
when I rise in the morning, when I rise in the morning, when I rise, just give me Jesus in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me
that can testify that he is more than enough. Hallelujah. We stand at this time. We're going to let the ushers come at this time. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. We're going to ask Brother Jay to pray for the offering. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you remain standing, we are going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. If you would like to be anointed and prayed for, I know that there are some sick in the house. If you would like to be anointed and prayed for, as we go to the Lord in prayer here in a few moments, we ask that you would come forward, and then elders, if you would come down and anoint and pray for those that come forward. It feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Despite some sickness and some flu bug and other stuff that seems to be happening this time of year. We are fortunate we are able to come and gather in the house of the Lord to lift our hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One special need that I would ask us to pray concerning a friend of mine, a pastor in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Many of you may know by association or heard of him before. Brother Darrell Williams went in earlier this last week into the ER with a lot of complications that he had been trying to suffer through. And when they did a scan, they found out that he had a mass about the size of a large marble in the frontal lobe of his brain. They did do surgery. I believe it was on Tuesday of this week. I'm thankful to report that it was not cancerous, but it was an infectious lesion. And so though they have removed it, and they said the surgery went well, he is still in ICU, recovering from that. He'll be in the hospital probably about 2 weeks. And then from there, he'll be at home with a PICC line in his skull draining, and about 4 to 6 weeks for that. And so he's not completely out of the woods yet. We're thankful for what has happened thus far, but we want to continue to lift him up. Pastor's a great church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, very connected among our organization, and we want to bind together with, I know, thousands more that are praying on his behalf. I pray that God would give him a speedy recovery, that he would be back in the pulpit for long. And we're thankful that we have a body of believers that we can gather together. I know there are other, that's right. I know that there are other needs here in the house. Please continue to remember Sister Kellum's Uncle Roscoe and the situation there, that God would heal. We're thankful that we can come to God. Sister Doris, did you have? Yes, remember Sister Nancy going to have a procedure today, and then let's continue to lift her up before the Lord that God would touch. I believe it's a monitor that they're, are they removing it today? Is that what's happening? And so 11 o'clock, so let's lift her up before the Lord. Sister Kellum. I'm sorry, his niece. All right, let's remember the Waynes. Kellum niece in prayer. Let's go to the Lord right now, shall we? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we're thankful that we can come to you. Your healing power and virtue is present in this place, God. It's not formality, God. It's not tradition, God. It's the great awe, respect, and reverence that we beseech your throne. But we have access. Your word tells us to come boldly into your throne of grace in time of need, God. Make our petition and request known unto you, God. For those who may be sick in body here in the house, Lord, we know that you're able to heal. You're able to raise up, God, to strengthen, God. How we love you, Jesus. How we praise your precious name. We honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful it is to know you and to serve you, God. Thank you, Jesus. A touch to move, God. We lift Brother Darrell Williams before you in prayer, God. Oh, touch, God. Oh, that you recover, God. Oh, with a surgery serious like this, God, we place him in your almighty hand, God. Give the medical staff and those dealing with this situation, give them wisdom, God. The prayers of the people, the saints, go before you, God. On his behalf, God. Oh, Brother Wayne Kellum's knees, God, you knowing the details of the situation, Lord, we cry out unto you. We believe and trust in you, God. We lift up Sister Nancy in prayer, God. Brother Al Fredrickson, who's sick in body this morning, God, we believe and trust. We come before you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for Sister Kellum's Uncle Roscoe, God. We know that you're able, God. And the doctors have no hope, God. Our hope is in you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, why don't we clap our hands? That's right, that's appropriate. We applaud you, Jesus. We applaud you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We want to remind you that tonight, when this is something that we had put on the calendar before the change in schedule, which I might add will We'll start the new Sunday schedule. We'll start next Sunday, the 19th. I will say this, in our business meeting Tuesday night, there was an overwhelming response in the affirmative. Yes, over 90% of the vote was returned as yes, they would like to see the new Sunday service schedule. And I would say this as well, and I know I've made this known many different times, but I would ask you again as pastor, please be patient with the process. Understand that this is a change for us all. This is going to have some bumps, and there's a learning curve that we're going to have to navigate, and I want to do it together. I don't want there to be any offense or trespass or anybody to get upset. So we need to communicate and try to help one another as we endeavor to launch out in this. I would say this, tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. here at the church, Valentine's Banquet, $10 a ticket. If you have not purchased your ticket, you need to do so in order to come be a part of that. We from about 6 to 8, and during that time, we're going to have some fun, some fellowship. We're also going to introduce and kick off some marriage seminar that we're going to be doing for the next about 5 weeks. We're not just having stuff for the couples or the married folks. There's all kinds of other stuff going on, the youth activities, things happening here at the church. I would say this, it's already been brought to my attention that what we're doing is having the desired effect, as we have, my understanding, a couple of couples that will be a part of the Valentine's Banquet tonight who are not a part of this church. That's good. Say, well, that means we're going to have to maybe socialize with people we don't know, or have opportunity with children that are not normally around here. I say this, good. Good. That's what this is all about. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this, to try to facilitate having more people come and be a part of this. And so it is having its desired effect. I would say this, Sister Grimm needs those of you that would help. And so if you are desirous of helping her, and I know she's talking specifically young people, but they're going to be helping us, we know. But if you would like to help tonight in serving and in the kitchen area, we want to give anybody and all that want to be a part of this, opportunity to be a part of this. Many hands make light work. I know that there are many couples that will be attending this, but if you would like, you say, well, I don't really feel comfortable coming to the banquet, but I would like to be involved. Well, you can be involved. And you can help us. We need hands. We need help. Kitchen help, serving help, that sort of stuff. So if you would be interested in doing that, I'm going to have Sister Grimm meet you at the back of the church right after service. And she can ask you where you'd be willing to volunteer. And then I need to meet anybody that is in any teaching capacity or support role in this church. If you are a teacher or you are a support staff in Sunday school, I know many of them are downstairs. We've already said this, but I know that there are some up here. I need to meet with you very shortly just to make sure that when we kick this thing off next week that we are doing it correctly. Everybody understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so it won't be long, 5-10 minutes. I just need to meet with you and tell you how we're going to change a few things to hopefully better involve more people. One of the things we're going to do, and I hope that you'll indulge me in this, on Sunday mornings during the Sunday school portion that's going to happen from 10 a.m. to about 10:45, there are going to be the lay ministers of this church are going to be bringing those Sunday school lessons. So I've already asked about three of them. There's three more that I want to ask that will be, if they agree to do so, will be involved in teaching those Sunday morning lessons. We will provide the curriculum. It's very good curriculum. It's from headquarters, and so that is going to, and I say this to hopefully excite you about the fact of hearing more voices and hearing more people being able to teach and instruct us on Sunday morning during the Sunday school portion. And then again at 11 o'clock, our worship service happening from 11 till we dismiss. And then on Sunday night, the different trainings, teaching, things that we're going to implement. So please, We welcome your involvement. We want this to be a great thing for any and all, and we want it to be a way that we can reach out and get more people involved in the church, and so that's what we are endeavoring to do. Why don't you stand to your feet? have your Bibles and you would be so kind. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. As you're turning there, I want to put in another plug for our new church management software, Breeze. This is and is quickly becoming our primary source of communication, letting you know what is happening, when it is happening, events. We're learning how to put forms together, to send out invites, emails, text messages. So we need your information. Basically, all we need is for you to log in. That way we can you can make sure that all the information in your profile is correct. And you can add as little or as much information as you would like. And the more information you add, the better we are able to serve you. Amen? We are able to manipulate the information in the sense of being able to provide demographics and certain tags for certain groups. And the only way we're able to manipulate the information for you is for you to input it. And so we need you to sign up and be involved. If you have questions concerning that, you can see Brother Kellum's done a wonderful job in implementing this and kicking it off. And we are, those of us who are learning and using it, we've got a few more things to purchase in the sense of some tablets and some other things to help us as most everything is turning electronically. You are, as you're attending on service, there's somebody taking attendance. Yeah. So when you're not here, we know. But no, this is just another way to help us in record keeping. So we want you to get involved in that as well. Hebrews chapter number 6. One verse of scripture, verse number 1. I'll read it in the King James, and then I also read the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1, King James reads, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on," everybody say go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Writer of Hebrews instructing, "Therefore, let us leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on unto perfection." The New Living Translation reads like this: "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God." Help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject: pursuing perfection. Pursuing perfection. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We thank you that we can gather together with people of like precious faith, God, to lift our hands in praise and worship unto you. And now we ask you, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds that we would receive your word, God, that we would be instructed in righteousness, that your spirit would speak expressly to our hearts and our lives, God, that we would see, God, our need to go on, God, to build, God, upon the foundation, God, that is sure and essential in our lives, God, that we would find ourselves maturing and progressing in you. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your precious name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Pursuing perfection. Pursuing perfection. The foundation of building a life as a Christian must certainly begin with repentance for evil deeds as we place our faith in Jesus Christ. While many Christian denominations will disagree about doctrine and other scriptural issues, the majority will, without much debate, agree that repentance and a faith in God are essential to being a Christian. Now, I realize the term Christian is used rather loosely in our day and age, and often it is ascribed to people and to persuasions with very few, if any, Christ-like attributes. I understand that. I get that. But let's start with the greatest common denominator across the board. Let's start with what most in Christendom would say is the beginning or the start or the foundation of a life with God. The beginning of your Christian experience. The start, if you will, of this life in service unto God. Let's do as this passage does. Let's do as the writer of Hebrews did. Let's make the starting point repentance and a faith in God. Can we agree that someone who wants to turn away from a life of sin, someone who wants to come in contact and experience a walk in relationship with God, might we concede that yes, the starting place for that endeavor is, without doubt, repentance and believing in God? That's the initial step. I would state, furthermore, without hesitation, that the new birth begins with repentance and faith in God. We understand the essentiality of other things involved in that process. We teach and we preach without hesitation what we believe to be the gospel of Jesus Christ and the response therein. We recognize repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is that new birth experience. We preach that. We see that according to Scripture. But we also recognize that repentance and faith in God is ground zero. It's the beginning. It's the foundation for anyone endeavoring to build a life lived for God. Notwithstanding the essentiality of such, what the writer of Hebrews is seeking to convey is the understanding that we should not stay where we started. I'm going to say that again. What the writer of Hebrews is very succinctly saying in the opening verse of chapter number 6 is simply this. God never intended for us to stay where we started. He never intended for us to end up where we began. There is a starting off point. There is a beginning. There is a foundation. But we need to understand it is God's desire. And yea, I say it is the intention of your pastor and people in your life to tell you and to teach you and to instruct you and for us to grow together in God, growing up into Him, into all things, maturing and progressing in our walk in relationship with God. The writer, Hebrews, is conveying that you and I should leave the principles. That doesn't mean disregard them. That doesn't mean give up on them. That doesn't mean that the principles are not what we begin with. What he's saying is that you got to grow from there. You got to leave the principles. You got to build upon that foundation. But if all that is built is a foundation, well, you really haven't built a house. You just got the beginning of a house. You've got to build up from there. You've got to go from there. Just as maturity in the natural is the unexpected process of growth that becomes evident in the physical, so too should there be a maturity in the supernatural that is evident in the spiritual. Amen. In a natural sense, if we as adults were still crawling, drinking from a bottle and messing our pants, there'd be a cause for concern. There'd be some issues. People would say there's some developmental issues in that individual. There's something wrong. Now, please understand, I'm not making fun. I'm not demeaning those that may have disabilities or are incapable of doing such things. But a normal, functioning grown-up grows up. Puts away childish things. Goes from immaturity to maturity. Puts away the bottle. Stops crawling and starts walking. Puts away the baby foods and starts chewing on some meat. I think you understand where I'm going. In like manner, if we as Christians are continually repenting and we're continually having to commit our faith in God. I say, with me. Where our walk in relationship with God is just a continual coming to Him and repenting for the same things. Now, it's going to get tight in here for a little bit.
recommitting our faith in God, recommitting our trust in God. While those things are not wrong and we should do those things, if that's where we still are after years of serving God, something's wrong. There's some developmental issues. There's some maturity that needs to take place, because the writer of Hebrews said we got to leave the principles of the of Christ. We can't just keep repenting and just keep coming back and recommitting to faith in God. We got to grow up. See, the power of God is not present in our lives to keep us in the same place, but rather it should propel us in the pursuit of perfection. The power of God should be a working force in our life. The Holy Ghost should be working to sanctify us, to set us apart, and to keep us walking in a progressive relationship with God. Where we're not at the same place today that we were yesterday. That we're not at the same place this year that we were last year. That we're not still having the same struggles and still dealing with the same issues and still having to come to God and repent about the same stuff we're doing and having to come and recommit a faith in God. No, we need to grow up. We need to mature in the things of God. Listen, I'm preaching to us all. There's some areas of imperfection in my life that I need to come to God and say, Lord, you got to help me grow up in these areas. I've got to mature in these areas. I've got to be better here. It's pursuing of perfection. It's no wonder. You can search the scriptures. You'll find numerous metaphors that are used in scripture to present or to describe a life in God. Service unto God. The three notable ones are building. You can find where this is attributed or ascribed to our walk in relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, 2 Corinthians 5:1. Or planting and cultivating. Isaiah 60:21, Isaiah 61:3. We are the planting of the Lord. Or a race. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Hebrews 12:1. This building, planting or cultivating, this racing the Bible talks about in reference to our walk in relationship with God, we need to understand they are all progressive. I'll say that again. They are all progressive. They are not sedentary. They are not there in the same place. If you're going to build something, certainly you start with a foundation. But you better start putting up some walls. And you better start putting up some trusses in there. And there better be a roof over the top. Or before long, the foundation will become cracked. And it will be destroyed by the weather and the elements. What are you trying to say, Pastor? There's a reason why the Bible ascribes building and planting and racing to our walk in relationship with God, it's because they are progressive. Somebody who runs a race stands there at the starting place, running in place. You would think, what an idiot. Does that individual not know? There's ticker tape at the other end. There's a race to be won. Oh man, but I'm doing it. Well, you're not going anywhere. I'm sweating and I'm moving the legs and I'm burning calories. Well, that's all well and good. There's something to be said for that. But you're not going anywhere. You're in the same place. Well, you know, I'm so thankful that this was planted in the soil of my soul so many years ago. Well, that's great. Where's the fruit? It's wonderful. I'm glad that it's been planted, but the process is such that before long, that's got to break through the surface. Before long, there's got to be a stem which comes up and connects with the sunlight. And before long, if it's done right and you're watering and you're cultivating and doing the things that show the progression, well, then there's going to be fruit. There's going to be something. That's why the Bible says you show forth fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, I may have repented, but there's got to be fruit. And repentance is just it's the starting point. It's that initial place. But if I allow God to work in my life and I progress and I mature in the things of God, before long there's fruit. I'm building. Certainly I got to have the foundation. It's got to be repentance. It's got to be built upon faith in God. It's got to be built upon the understanding that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And it's got to be built in the understanding that I must be humble before God and realize that I need Him to help me and lead me and guide me as the master builder, as the one who would lay the blueprint for my life. And I got to grow up. I want to build life into God. I want to bear fruit. I want to win this race. I want it. Then you got to go on. Pursue perfection. You got to leave the principles. That doesn't mean disregard them, but you got to go from there. Progressing from the principles means we build upon the principles. We plant the principles and then water and cultivate those principles and apply them in our lives so that there's growth. We start the race with those initial principles, but we don't run in place. We move forward in our walk in relationship with God. See, let me say this as kindly as I can. I feel sorry for people who are stuck in dead-end doctrine. For preachers and teachers convince them that they're okay to stay exactly where they are when they first come in contact. I feel sorry for individuals who are in a dead-end doctrine. It does not challenge them to grow. It does not compel them to change. Which does not compel them to cultivate and build and take those foundations and let there be fruit in the life. And it's okay, you just come and you just confess. Sorry, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm a part of a system of beliefs that encourages me and challenges me and, yes, convicts me to change my life and do things different, because I want to grow. I want to go on pursuing perfection. I want to be better today than I was yesterday. And I want to be better next year than I am this year. I want to grow in my walk and relationship with God. I do so by pursuing perfection, by going on unto perfection. See, if I'm still in the same place spiritually that I started, something is drastically wrong. Stay with me, because it's going to get tight. Do we understand that in the spirit, there is spiritual territory? Just as there are dominions and territories and lines of jurisdiction, etc., in the natural, we need to understand that so too is there in the spiritual. I'm not going to get all mystical on you. Just bear with me. But understand this. Just as there is a physical location, there is a spiritual location. Let me give you an example. Pastor, my marriage is a mess. We've been struggling with the same stuff for years. Let me be candid enough to say, maybe it's not a marriage problem, but rather a spiritual maturity problem. Say that again. We've been dealing with the same stuff. We've been going over and over. We've been trying to hash this out for years. We've been struggling in these same areas, Pastor. And it's like we're in the same place, in the same territory. Yeah. You need to understand, maybe it's not a marriage problem. Maybe it's a spiritual maturity problem. Maybe it's an unwilling to progress problem. Maybe it's an unwillingness to do what I need to do in order to move from where I am to where God wants me to be. Maybe, just maybe, it's not a marriage problem at all. Maybe it's my refusal to get up and go on. I knew it wouldn't get many amens. Oh, brother, and we've had financial problems for as long as I can remember. We struggled. It's always more month than money. Maybe it's not a money problem. Maybe it's a spiritual maturity problem. Maybe it's an unwillingness to progress problem. Maybe it's because I'm still in the same place. I'm dealing with the same temptations. I'm struggling with some of the same addictions. It's not a substance or a situation problem. It's a spiritual location problem. The reason why you're battling the same battles and sometimes struggling in the same struggles and we're fighting the same thing again and again and again and again. It's because we're in the same spiritual territory. I'm preaching now. Because we haven't progressed. Because we haven't conquered that land in the name of the King. Because we haven't staked our bloodstained banner over that territory. We haven't gone on and we haven't progressed. We're just here in our own little fort. We staked our own little claim. Well, that's great. And that's wonderful. And I'm glad that you have that territory, but you need to understand that it is not God's will that you stay there. It is God's will that you expand your dominion. It is God's will that you enlarge your borders. It is God's will that you get up and go on, that you conquer those enemies, that you start dealing with those same demons, that you stop struggling with those same struggles, that you get up and go on, that you start pursuing perfection. And that means putting your hand to the plow, and that means getting up and doing more for God, and that means not staying where I am, but I'm going forward in God. We're still fighting the same demons, and we're still struggling with the same issues, and we're still repenting over the same old deeds, and we're still trying to recommit our faith in God. Let me tell you what it is. It's a spiritual location problem, and we need to allow God to help us to wield the sword of the Spirit and start taking back the land that the enemy has. It's time for a move. Talking about your physical location, I'm talking about your spiritual location. At what point in time do you become fed up enough with dealing with the same issues and struggling with the same situations and finding the same circumstance circling your life? When are you going to get fed up enough to say, I'm going to leave this territory that I am and I am going to move on in the things of God? I'm not going to struggle with these demons anymore. I'm going to conquer this and go forward. We are made more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord, and He never intended for you to stay there and let the enemy just keep attacking you. But I fought him to a stalemate. Well, that's all well and good, but it's His will that you conquer. Or maybe this has been said. Well, I'm in a good place. That's great. But there's something better. There's something better. Well, I'm in a good place right now, Pastor. Well, don't get too comfortable there. Don't decide to set up camp there. Because when God calls, it's that He's calling you to a better place. He's calling you to a better country. I'm not talking about in the physical. I'm talking about in the spiritual. There's a new level. There's a new dimension. There's a new territory for you. Don't become complacent and don't concede to just stay in an area of comfortable just because it feels good right now. And I'm in a good place, Pastor. That's all well and good. But if I can do anything, I hope that preaching and teaching and the power and presence of God makes you uncomfortable sometimes where you start realizing, wow, this is a good place. There's something better for me. God's got better for me. I'm going to pursue perfection. I'm going on and go. See, but here's the problem. Here's what many people would say. Well, Pastor, perfection is impossible. Now, let me say right off the bat, that's a cop out. No, that's strong. But I'm always going to have mistakes. I'm flesh. I've had this humanity. I'm never going to have that perfection, that Adamic perfection that existed before sin came into the world. You're right. You're not. But stop using that as an excuse to stay where you are. Stop using that as the reason for why you're not pursuing perfection. Just because you can't identify it or just because you can't see the end mark doesn't mean that I don't press towards it. Doesn't mean that I don't strive with everything that is in me to grow and mature in the things of God. It doesn't mean that I become complacent and sedentary in the state that I am. I know the Apostle Paul said, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He's not talking about a spiritual place. He's talking about where he is in the natural, in the circumstances that surround his life. Let me tell you this on the authority of God's word. If we quit being so concerned about contentment in the natural, we start seeking for better things in the spiritual. Learn. Whether I abound or I abase, whether I'm full or I'm hungry, no matter what state, I've learned therewith to be content. Because it's not about my natural location. It's not about my natural position. It's about a spiritual position. And I can grow in God when my belly's full or my belly's empty. I can grow. I can conquer new territory for God, whether I'm abounding physically or whether I'm dealing with issues. So often we let things of the natural, we let things in the physical keep us from pursuing perfection in the spiritual. And we need to know that is not God's will. It's not God's will that we allow the circumstances and situations of our life to keep us in the same place. It is His will that we go on unto perfection, that we pursue perfection. Well, if you really want to understand what that word perfection means, it actually means maturity. Read it. In the Greek, the word is maturity. It's not about that I'm going to reach a state where I'm faultless or I'm mistake-free. No, I ain't going to do that. It's not going to happen. It's not. Just because I can't always be mistake-free and I will find faults in my life doesn't mean that I still find myself in the same place that I was last year or the year before.